the Buddha, see the Dharma, see the Sangha. Imagine for a moment a large table. It's perfectly flat. On that table there's a large piece of paper that covers the table completely. Covers the top of the table completely. You make a whole bunch of little dots on that piece of paper. And as we'll remember from our high school geometry, plane geometry, the shortest distance between any of those two little dots is a straight line. The shortest distance between any two points in a plane is a straight line. Now let's imagine that we take that same piece of paper and we crumple it up. It's a big table, so it's a big piece of paper that covered it. So we ended up with a piece of paper about the size of a basketball, all crumpled up into a rough sphere. And then we just indiscriminately tear at it. So we make lots of little tears, crumple it up again, and then we twist it every which way. Now we drop it back in the middle of the table. Now this torn, crumpled, twisted lump of paper you could put, if you're careful, using a little felt tip marker, maybe you could make lots of little dots on it all over the place. Everywhere you could find a spot to make them. Now the shortest distance between any of those two points is no longer a straight line in the same way that it was on the flat paper. Or to be more precise, the further any of the two points are, you're attempting to find the shortest distance between, the less it will be like the straight line that was on the flat piece of paper. In other words, two points very close together on your crumpled, torn, twisted piece of paper may resemble that straight line. But the further the points get apart from each other, the more they will tend to be unlike that straight line. And yet, you'll still be drawing, maybe very difficult to draw it, but you can at least imagine it, the shortest distance between those points. So we could say that in the universe of this roughly basketball size of torn, crumpled, twisted piece of paper, in that universe, you still have straight lines, which can be defined still as the shortest distance between any two points. Now I'm using this, I'm speaking of this as a kind of metaphor. Let's go back to the flat piece of paper. We can easily make all kinds of little dots on that paper, and we can easily see that if we use a straight edge of some kind, and we connect up any two of those dots, you do indeed have a line that looks straight. And the shortest distance between any two points on that flat piece of paper are going to be something that we recognize as a straight line. Visually and aesthetically. When things go our way and we easily get what we desire, we easily attain the objectives that we might have in mind. It's like we're living in that little two-dimensional universe, and between our desire or our intention and the goal, there's an easy little straight line. When things are much more complex and much more difficult, which is more often the case, it may be much harder to see that the universe actually obeys a law of straight lines. In other words, to put it another way, when we enter the world where we are not the real world, more complex real world, in which we're more often not so easily attaining our desires, things tend to look crooked. And yet in reality, the universe carries on with straight lines. Her master used to say, God writes straight with crooked lines. I don't think she made that statement up. She was the first person I ever heard say it. I don't think she invented that saying, but it's true enough. God writes straight with crooked lines. But I think it's really truer to say that God always writes straight with straight lines. For God's lines are always straight. And sometimes we perceive them as straight, and more often we perceive them as crooked. Because life is so complex. And to be more specific, karma is so complex. Our own karma is complex enough. The karma of an infinity of living beings. All these karmas interacting with each other. That is infinitely complex. If we look with the eyes of if we look with worldly eyes, we may see lots and lots of crooked lines amidst all that complexity. Yet if we look with the eyes of faith, we may see that same messy landscape, messy universe of crooked lines as a beautiful universe of straight lines. And it's the same universe. This is a fundamental reason why bowing is so very important. And why in both the practice that we do together and in our own private practice, it is so important to bow. The formal bows that we do in our ceremonies, they're not just formal and just ceremonial. Their purpose is not to do something that is a kind of beautiful physical act as part of a beautiful ceremony. They have a purely spiritual purpose. And while that purpose can be described in a number of different ways, the way that I would describe it for the purpose of this particular talk is that bowing helps us accept that which is hard to accept. Bowing helps us see Buddha in that in which we are struggling to see Buddha. Bowing helps us look with the eyes of Buddha so that we can see the heart of a Buddha. Workings of karma are complex far beyond our powers to comprehend and understand. And at the same time, the workings of karma in all of that amazing infinity of complexity is in every aspect of that complexity functioning entirely for the good of beings. Of course, individual beings may be making one awful mess of their own lives and damaging lives around them. And yet, the law of karma itself, even in the midst of that sometimes quite awful mess, is inexorably working itself out. Those who act from a pure heart, or when we act from a pure heart, our load of suffering is lessened. And we step, and we move in the direction of enlightenment. When we act from an impure heart, our load of suffering is deepened, increased. And we move further in the direction of spiritual confusion and suffering. And in both cases, is equally true that the law of karma is working for the good of beings. The law of karma is indifferent as to whether we act perceptually or not, whether we move in the direction of enlightenment or not. get the law of karma, will teach us, as we get the consequences of our actions, and the consequences flow out inexorably from the causes, from the actions. The law of karma will teach us, as we get the consequences of our actions, how to live more wisely. And how to move in the direction of spiritual liberation and enlightenment. This is true for all beings, not just for a few special beings. This plays itself out through the course of time, and time doesn't matter to the eternal. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.